And we are here with co-founder and bassist of Driving and Crying and Lowcountry resident, Tim Nielsen. Tim, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, man, it's great to be here. Richard, what's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Happy Turkey Week.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, this is the third or fourth annual Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving
yes,
show.
Yes, third or fourth. I'm pretty sure it's the third, but if you want to say it's the fourth, we'll go with it.
Well, what started the day after Thanksgiving thing, man?
Well, this was kind of a tradition we had going in Atlanta for a number of years. And as soon as we stopped doing it, widespread panic swooped in and took the spot. So we tried to get back into it, and then we would find ourselves competing with bands like Blackberry Smoke. And so I was like, you know what? I don't think Charleston really does a Friday show, you know. So I talked to Charles Carmody a few years back, and we were like, let's do this and try to make it a yearly thing. And every year we do it, and he's such a great success that he's like literally the week after the show. He goes, let's go ahead and put down next year.
Well, I mean, because
so it's like it's great.
By Friday, people are sick of their family and they're looking to get out of the house and go do something anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And this is a nice thing. You can, you know, get dressed up, have a date night, go get a dinner, Doc Shays or whatever. And I mean,
it's fun. No, it's a fun time. I can't wait. I want to be out there. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I remember seeing you guys way back when in the 20th century. And we can talk about that, but let me ask you.
Yeah, you've been around a while, haven't you?
Yeah, you have. So have you. So a couple of guys who've been around for a while. The Charleston Music Hall is one of those places that you guys sort of have an affinity for. The Windjammer out on the Isle of Palms, and you know places like the Fox Theater in Atlanta or the Tabernacle in Atlanta. There's certain places that you guys just seem to love playing even
more
than others.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was kind of like my when I stepped in and started managing Driving and Crying about I don't know 3-4 years ago. And For Charleston, it's kind of always been kind of like our second hometown. And so I just wanted to keep our Charleston shows kind of like, you know, to a certain level.
The intimate affair.
Yeah, well, yeah, just something that's special. Not just random, you know, shrimp boils on the creek or whatever, but just like, hey, let's just do the Windjammer. And we're probably going to do that again this summer.
All right.
Because we did the outdoor thing last year, was great. And then doing the music hall, which is a classy show. It's a nice place to go see music.
And so, a band from Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, obviously the Fox and the Tabernacle, a couple of great places as well.
Yeah, and Variety Playhouse, I think, is where we're going to be this year. We kind of switch it off between Center Stage, Variety Playhouse, Georgia Theater, which used to be the Roxy. Now it's called the Buckhead Theater. And then the Tabernacle. And then we just did the Fox. We did a thing at the Fox this summer, which was great.
Well, what is it, though, about the Charleston area that you guys keep coming back and having a great time and having great shows and a lot of fun? I mean, it's just...
I don't know. You know, we had a relationship with 96 Wave in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you came from,
yep.
too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was one of the stations where we used to do the Wave Fest, and we were like one of the headliners. I mean, it was nuts. And... myself, our band, my family, we've always gravitated towards Charleston and Isle of Palms. And 7 years ago, myself and my wife and kids, we moved here. So we live in Mount Pleasant now. So, you know.
It's a hometown show for you now.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's felt like a hometown show for Driving and Crying for years, going back to the Wave Fest craziness down at Brittlebank Park and everything.
Yeah, and like everybody talks about the time we played at the Port Authority and the barricades got broken and the cops stopped the show. And Kevin's like, yeah, I got driven back to the hotel in a police car. But I wasn't in trouble. They were just trying to protect me.
Stories. Is there any way that you could have fathomed back in 1985 that here you are in 2019, you know, 35 years later or whatever, and you guys are still rocking and rolling and touring and having a blast?
Well, I guess when you're like 25, 30 years old, you just don't think about stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't think about what am I going to be doing in 30 years or 25. You don't think that way. I don't think your brain works that way. So the answer to the question is no.
How do you explain it now?
How do we explain it? I don't know. It's like, Kevin's just always kept going, doing solo projects, putting out solo records, and I've dabbled in real estate and construction and stuff over the years, but it's like my good friend Will Lewis kind of just said, like, what do you want to do with your life? He's like, what are you best at? And I was like, well, I know a lot about the music business. That's probably the number one thing. He's like, well, why don't you focus on that? So that's when I decided to step in and manage, And, you know, Driving and Crying has started our own record company. We put out our own record last year, and we've got a live record coming out.
Yeah, talk vinyl. About the record. Yeah, talk about the vinyl.
We're pressing vinyl and putting it out. And we've got, you know, we do all the same things that a normal record company would do. We have label services and distribution and manufacturing and all right here in Mount Pleasant.
Wow. I mean, because you guys continue to tour all over the world. And I'm kind of wondering what it's like when you guys are overseas and touring over there, the kind of reception. And the artists always talk about the differences in the audiences from American audiences versus audiences around the world.
I guess when you go to a foreign place and play a show, you have to keep your expectations kind of like really kind of like flatline, because you never know whether people are going to look at you like deer in the headlights going, what the hell is this? Or they're just going to, like in Spain, in some places like Scotland, they were just going nuts. They were just like eating it up. Like, this is, I need more of this. Yes, yes, yes. Give me that. And we're like, cool. All right. We're not wasting our time. We're over here like actually, you know, impacting something.
Well, no, you guys
creating art. And,
you know, you guys mentioned you got the new live thing that's going to be coming out, vinyl and stuff. But also, you guys have re-released some of the older albums over the years, and you had those really cool run of EPs as well. I mean,
yeah, we did the EPs, and then we compiled the four EPs and made it into one vinyl. We probably ought to put out a volume two of that with the rest of the tunes. But we released Mystery Road a couple years ago on a double vinyl with the demos that Peter Buck produced as the second disc, and we re-released the one from '97. It was self-titled, and we gave it a title. Too Late to Turn Back Now came out on New West Records year before last. So yeah, you know, our hardcore fans gotta have the vinyl.
Absolutely,
they're going nuts. They want, well, where can I get Fly Me Courageous vinyl? Where can I get Smoke vinyl? It's like, well, really, really hard to find. There's like a couple of them out there, and they're really expensive, but they will be re-released eventually.
And the new stuff is also going to be out on vinyl.
Yeah, it is. It already is.
Yeah, I mean, but if you have some vinyl sitting right here on the counter, I mean,
we got the blue American version with the gatefold sleeve, and we got the nice Dutch version on regular old black vinyl.
Now, let me ask you, one of the things that Driving and Crying has been going on with for decades is the lineup changes. I think the analogy you used was that it's like a minor league baseball team for young guitarists and stuff that you kind of
it's kind of like Durham Bulls in that respect. No, we had Buren Fowler in the band for a while, and we started out as a three piece, you know, and then we would have people coming and going, but Buren became our permanent member, and he did a bunch of records with us and a lot of tours, the most tours ever, and then we kind of like, you know, took a different path and went back to being a three-piece for the late 90s. And then we brought in Malcolm Carter, and we didn't really make a record for about 12 years. And we finally made a record with him in 2009, the Great American Bubble Factory. And then we parted company with him around the same time Sadler Vaden from Charleston was breaking up his band Leslie and planning to move to Nashville. And I said, well, you want to come sit in with us for a couple shows? And he wound up joining the band for a couple years. And then he got called up to the big leagues with Jason Isbell. He's going to the show.
Who would be the Crash Davis of Driving and Crying? If you like the Durham Bulls, who'd be Crash?
That's me.
Okay, that would be you.
That's right, me.
Just check it.
Okay. One of these guys. Like.
Now, let me ask you, because you guys, I mean, you and Kevin Kenny, I mean, you're talking 35 years. I mean, that's longer than a lot of marriages last nowadays. And you're coworkers, you're obviously friends, but I mean, there's give and take in any relationship. It's almost like brothers. I mean, people be getting together at Thanksgiving, you know, with family, and sometimes that works. How has that worked for this long?
I have no idea. I mean, you can't sweat the small stuff, you know. You just kind of like try to keep it fun. You know, and we really enjoy making music. So, you know, we know our limitations, and, you know, we just have to try to stay within those things.
It's still a lot of fun for you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a bad way to make a living.
Most of the time, you know, it's like a lot of people say, older musicians, Dan Baird and, I don't know, some of the old blues guys saying, you know, it's like, hey, man, for 2 hours a day, I get a break. And that's when you're on stage. The other 22 hours of traveling and figuring out where you're going to, you know, eat, sleep and, you know, that's the work. That's the job. But playing music is, that's easy. That's fun.
I know you guys going back to, you know, think when you think back to the '80s, when you guys started, the Ramones were a big, influence. You guys were big fans of the Ramones. Johnny Ramone, a fan, Kevin Kenny, a huge fan of Johnny. And you had had a chance to meet Joey and just the, I mean, you kind of, you kind of get that aspect with Driving and Crying in a Southern rock alternative kind of way, as opposed to a CBGB kind of way. But I mean, those guys I know had an influence on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our number one influence, I guess, starting off was probably punk rock music, like the Jam and the Clash and the Ramones and Sex Pistols and stuff like that. But, you know, because we grew up when we did, we had all of that 70s and 60s and 50s rock and roll to listen to as well.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a good vinyl collection going these days.
I was about to say, I miss the vinyl records. Just remember the old days, you could open up the vinyl and then you could de-seed all of your pot, you know, the vinyl thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing
That's why
like
we
that.
Did a gatefold.
That's why
you roll the. I don't think there's any seeds in weed anymore. It's also like
no nowadays
hybrid stuff. It's just like it's not even green anymore. It comes in like a liquid capsule, and you just a robot inserts it in your brain.
So the marijuana delivery system has evolved into the 21st century, is what we're saying. So
yeah,
and so, the show is called The Morning Buzz, so there may be a little connotation there or whatever.
Wake but, and bake.
Yeah, exactly. Now here we are talking about the Ramones and punk rock and the origins of Driving and Crying, but yet you think of a song like Straight to Hell, and there it is as a hit on country radio with that guy Darius and CMT. I mean,
my neighbor.
How about? That's a crazy evolution, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, not really. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with guys up in Nashville, and you hear the stories about the old country music guys, and they make the rock and roll guys look like a bunch of sissies. I mean, the drug abuse and the people murdering each other.
The Ken Burns documentary he did about country music was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, So, you know, and our good friend Jeremy Tepper is the guy who runs Outlaw Country on XM Radio. And he says Outlaw Country is the new punk rock. So everything's kind of come full circle, you know. And when we started out, yeah, we were listening to the Ramones and stuff, but we were also listening to Hank Williams and Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash and you know, Flat and Scruggs and whatever, you know.
That's good stuff, though.
It's good. Those people, they lived hard rock and roll lives. I mean, they were on the road, and they were between, like, you know, a drug addiction and murdering their wives and going to prison, whatever they did.
A lot to write about as well. Yeah, for their songs.
There was a lot going on. So, yeah, it's all part of the art.
Do you have a
evolution.
Do you have a preference of Driving and Crying as a three-piece or more?
I mean, I got to say that the current lineup is pretty solid. We've got Lauer Jometz on guitar.
From Sturgill Simpson's band.
He played on the first two Sturgill Simpson records and toured with them for 6-7 years. And he's just fantastic. He's a young guy. I think he's only 30, 31 years old, something like that. And he's a great rock and roll player, but he knows the country, the real country licks and the slide. He can do play pedal steel, and he's from Estonia in Europe. So, you know, it's just so weird that all these all these different things came together, and then he wound up in our band. So and he's just a great guy. So and Dave Johnson is just, he's the best rock and roll drummer I've ever met. Just so tasty and in the pocket.
Well, you know, it's just crazy to think that here you have a rock and roll band. You start out as young kids in Atlanta, and now here you are in 2019, and the road goes on forever, as the Allman Brothers said or whatever. But at the same time, you guys get, you know, recognized like with the Georgia Music Hall of Fame and the Georgia General Assembly for your achievements. I mean, that's such a mainstream accomplishment for a band that many people would consider alternative or Southern rock. I mean, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you.
I think it's just really cool. You guys have a chance to still live the rock and roll lifestyle, but still get that kind of recognition. You know, not only by the fans, but by, you know, just the general public. You know,
yeah, that was a great honor. for Georgia to recognize us like that.
All right, so last question then. When people come out to see Driving and Crying in concert, what do they expect? What do you expect to give them? I mean, what can they expect to see at the music hall?
Well, I mean,
and over the years at the Windjammer and all the fun stuff.
We're always going to do the favorites and the hits. And I mean, we're really proud of our new record. We put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it, making it. And I think the tunes are great. I think the album's going to hold up, and people seem to be liking it. You know, they don't go to the bar and get a drink when we go into one of our new songs. They're just like, they're into it. They know the words. So, yeah, we're going to be playing old stuff and hits and Straight to Hell and Fly Me Courageous, but a lot of stuff from Live the Love Beautiful as well.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in here, and I know I'll probably see you around town there in Mount Pleasant, us Mount Pleasant residents and whatever.
Yeah.
And then the show, the Windjammer, that is a blast when you do it out there, and then the day after Thanksgiving event at the Charleston Music Hall. I appreciate you coming in here, and happy Thanksgiving to you and the entire band and your family and everybody.
And hey, everybody in Charleston, come on out to our show.